All right, welcome to the Wheelin' Broadcast. I'm Keith Codette, owner of Thin Line Off-Road in East China, Michigan, and I'm here with my co-host, Johnny Orange.
How's it going, everybody?
And we've also got our producer, Andrew, down there, listening to us with his fancy new headphones. I can hear him. This is our very first podcast, and we are recording at the Thin Line Off-Road office today. We are part of the Museum of Off-Road Adventure, but this is a better spot to start out with right now. So, John, how you been?
Not too bad. How about yourself, Keith?
Doing all right. Is your Jeep project coming along all right?
It is. Just working out, getting rid of some of the kinks, some of the fine oil leaks that I'm finally tracking down.
I know last time we talked, you said you were going to do some more welding on that aluminum oil pan.
Yeah, I did finally fix that, got rid of that leak so I can drive it now at least. But the, there's still leaks.
Gotcha. Well, for our listeners there, John over here has a 2001. Yeah, 2001 Jeep Wrangler that he swapped a OM617 Mercedes diesel engine into. Pretty cool little project he's been working on a few years. So, you know, these are the kind of things we're going to end up talking about here. And, well, I guess we just need to start off right with what we're going to be talking about. This is going to be the Wheelin' Podcast, and like I said, we are connected to the Museum of Off-Road Adventure, which is a new museum. We're going to talk a little more about that in our next podcast, but right now we're going to kind of talk about what we're going to do in this podcast and, you know, how we started out and what we're doing here. John, how did you get into 4x4s and off-road vehicles?
Well, in the very beginning, it all starts when I was a kid. My grandfather had an old Jeep Grand Wagoneer, the old farm Jeep. And when we were little kids, we all used to go for Jeep rides, jump in, go through the river. One of my favorite things back then, we'd get stuck in the mud, have to go all the way to the house, get the tractor, come back, get it out, and then we'd keep going trail riding. And, you know, first time I ever drove without a license was at the farm in the backfield and everything. And it just kind of snowballed from there. Always had a main interest in Jeeps, and when I actually met you, that's when it really started. You started teaching me how to work on them. That started the research, and that's when the addiction began.
So. That happens a lot of us. I think that's how many people are introduced into the off-road world, is they're introduced by somebody else. John and I met years ago. I was taking a scuba class with my little brother. This was must have been 15 years ago now, almost.
And seems like it.
It does. It might be not that long ago.
It was 2008 or 2009, somewhere in there.
That's about 10, 12 years ago then, yeah.
Almost, yeah.
Been a while. And I met John through that. And, you know, like I said, we were taking some scuba classes. And I still dive a little bit. John's much more into it than I am these days. But the off-roading end of things for myself is back in high school, I had a friend that used to take me out to mud bogs and things like that. And I was more of a car guy, you know, the hot rods and we had souped up cars and things like that. But he would take me out to the mud bogs. He had a Nissan hard body extended cab truck up on 33s, which
nice. To
me back then was a monster truck, you know. 33s just seemed like, you know, just giant tires. And of course, that's almost an entry-level tire these days. In fact, some vehicles come stock with bigger tires than that on them from the factory.
New Wranglers are stock with 35s.
Are they really that big these days? I didn't even know
some
that.
Some of the packages. I don't know if it's all of them, but a few of the packages are stock with 35s. My brother's 2014 Willys Edition. It's got 35s right from the factory.
And that's a nice Jeep, too. I've seen that. He's got the ones kind of that gunmetal gray color, the JK two-door.
Yep.
I like that a lot. That's kind of, you know, things we're going to talk about here at Wheelin'. We want to talk about 4x4s. We want to talk about the off-road lifestyle and whatnot. Getting back into what I do a little bit too, and I guess where, my background is in this. Like I said, I was into the old cars and hot rods, done a couple of big events and, cross-country tours, things like that with the cars. And I was getting burned out on it a little bit. And a friend of mine called me up one day and said, hey, and this is probably in the late 90s, do you want to go on this, you know, trail ride with me? And I didn't even know what a trail ride was at the time. And he had a, probably mid-90s XJ Cherokee up on 31s. And we went in that thing, and I saw the camaraderie. of the people out on the trail. You know, you'd have, I remember there was a dentist there that had like a $100,000 custom built rock buggy at some place out west made, you know. And then here we are in a $2,000 XJ Cherokee. And we're getting stuck and he's pulling us out. And, you know, then he'd break something and our tool bag comes out of the back of the truck and everybody's helping each other out. There's no snobbery. It's just a, it's really a great group of people.
Yeah. Everybody helps everybody.
Absolutely. And as you know, because we've known each other personally for many years now, I eventually introduced my family to this, started taking the kids out and things like that. And it just got more busy. And eventually we opened Thin Line Off-Road. We do used parts, some new things. We'll talk about Thin Line Off-Road another time. But I'm in the 4x4 business, as you know, full time now. And we don't work on people's vehicles. We sell parts exclusively.
Or whole vehicles.
Yeah, we've done some whole vehicles, a lot of Toyota Land Cruisers, a few old Fords, things like that, a few Willys and Jeeps and things like that. So, but, you know, my personal rigs these days, of course, I've got the 84 FJ60 Land Cruiser, and then I've got, that's really the main one, and we've got a few other toys as well. And John, you've got a whole garage full of Jeeps, basically. What do you have?
Well, I've got my 01 Wrangler. The Mercedes diesel is my daily driver. I've had an ongoing Jeep Cherokee project. It's got everything of Jeep products from 1984 to 2001 on it. It's not quite complete yet. It's getting there.
It's the old Johnny Cash Jeep, pretty much, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
One piece at a time.
Yep, exactly, exactly. There's no, I think the only original thing left is the block and the, what's left of the body. But it's been a work in progress, and that one, you know, that was the first build. And before I started that, and when you were teaching me in the beginning, I could change a spare tire, I could add wiper fluid and oil, and I was able to, you know, jumpstart a car.
Oh, yeah.
And that was it.
Don't give me too much credit. I mean, you've gone, you know, your welding skills and whatnot these days are better than mine, so.
Well, you started it, though, so I give a lot of credit to that. And that started me doing a lot of research, what parts would fit, what would work from other vehicles. You know, I learned about the Ford 8.8 axle swap, and then everything snowballed from there. And a lot of internet research, a lot of time comparing parts, comparing different build options, seeing what people were doing to learn how to do it on a budget.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another thing. Speaking of budgets, this is a lifestyle that people are in that... you know, you can get into the off-road hobby for just a couple $100 and bartering. And, you know, of course, there's rigs out there that have $100,000 plus into them. But,
you know,
the majority of the people out there are a lot more reasonable.
You can pick up a decent running Jeep Cherokee nowadays on the low end, $500 that needs work. You can put less than $1,000 into it, have yourself a 3-inch lift and 31s, 33s, and go wheeling with it.
Exactly.
You know, you don't need, like you said, you don't need $100,000, $30,000 to do this. You can do it on a budget.
Absolutely. Well, like I said earlier, and I just kind of briefly went over it, and I said we're going to talk about that in our next podcast, the Museum of Off-Road Adventure. But touching a bit on that and what that is and how we're connected to that, John and myself and a group of other 4x4 enthusiasts and just other people that were interested in bringing something interesting to our area started this museum a little over a year ago, and we opened last December. I think we were, December 1st, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and we've been continuing to develop new things through the museum to get the word out there, to bring people, and we were talking about this podcast thing. And so a lot of what we're going to do on the podcast is going to be connected to the museum, but it's not always going to be connected to the museum. At least my goals and your goals, you know, we've talked are very similar. And of course, let's talk a little bit about that. Personally, I'd like to see this podcast touch on 4x4 history, touch on some of the interesting vehicles, but then I'd like to see news about things that are currently, you know, for example, we could touch on things like the new Bronco coming back, and just for an example, lots of things like that.
Or the Oakland County Off-Road Park that's opening up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The what's that one called? The Mines or something?
I believe so. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay, yeah, I've been following that. That's pretty interesting. So those are all things that we can do. And then, you know, not just the vehicles, but we can also talk about lifestyle things, camping gear and off-road trail cuisine. You know, I've got some funny stories on those and whatnot. So basically, I'd like to see this podcast be a something for the whole outdoor lifestyle.
So for the whole family, around. Too.
Yeah, the whole family. The whole family. What would you like to see with this, John?
A lot of the same things. Just get the word out. You know, like I said, you don't have to have millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars to go off-roading. You take a nice family trip, you can do it on a budget. You can go camping, get everybody out in the outdoors, away from the electronics, you know, away from the internet, get back to family engagement, family communications, talking to each other, spending time with each other.
You mean without the smartphones?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, get away from a lot of the social media things. Get back to, you know, what makes everybody themselves.
It is something that people of all ages really do enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
We've taken kids out that are just a couple of years old, and I've seen people on the trail all the way up to 90 years old. Mm-hmm. So it's cross-generational for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, other things with this podcast, I'd like to see things that, like I said, not only connect to the museum, but connect to positive things for people to learn, help teach some things. I'd like to maybe bring some people on in the future to talk about laws and regulations regarding wheeling and what trails you can use and which trails you can't.
Yeah.
You know, different things, obstacles you might encounter, challenges you might encounter off-road, maybe insurances, all sorts of different things that people are going to have to do. So that's really what I would like to be focusing on with this podcast. And of course, we're going to see this thing grow.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
and always open to suggestions from something somebody wants to hear.
Absolutely. This is a good time to mention that. And we'll mention it again probably at the end of the podcast. Of course, we're going to aim for most of our podcasts to probably be in that 45 minute to, you know, hour long. You know, that'll vary a little bit, but as we build and we get experience ourselves, because this is my first podcast. I mean, I've never done a radio show or anything. What about you, John?
I touched a little bit on it in one of my high school classes. I never did get to hear the final version of that, so I don't know how well I did. I mean, I passed the class, but
okay.
So just a little bit, but definitely the first entry into podcasts and actually recording a lot of what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
So,
and I kind of forgot where I was going with that, but basically, you know, just where we'd like to see this podcast go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, bring in people to interview at different times.
Oh, yeah,
a lot
absolutely.
Of times it's going to be you and me and talking about different things with the museum and our businesses and just the lifestyle that we're in.
As I said, anyone listening who has topics or suggestions, things you'd like to hear about, things you want to know more about, shoot us a message.
That's where I was going with this. Yeah. You can go to the Mora website, which is, of course, www.themora.org. And you can also go to our podcast website as soon as that's up, which is Wheelin, Wheelin, radio, radio.com. So no G, just wheelinradio.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook at Wheelin, which is also no G, Wheelin. And as we get more social media things out there for people, we will let you know about them as we go as well.
You can always stop into the Mora too. And just take a look at the vehicles that they have on display there. Ask some questions. Take a look at what's there and see how we've evolved from day one to where we are now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is probably a good moment to break for ads here, or for words from our sponsor. If our producer over there looks good. He's giving me a weird look. All right.
So we'll take a break and be right back.
Ah, spring. It means so many things. Birds, flowers, warmer temperatures, and oh, let's not forget, bugs! Don't let pesky bugs take over your home. Call ABC Home and Commercial Services. They have the solution for your spiders, wasps, box elder bugs, Asian lady beetles, cluster flies, and more. ABC Home and Commercial Services, the best in pests. Call 810-794-5678.
Welcome back to Wheelin'. I'm Johnny Orange.
And I'm Keith. Oh, I thought you were still rolling with that, John.
Oh, I was leaving it to you to go.
Yeah, see, we're going to be figuring this thing out as we go along now.
A little bit of a learning curve.
Yep. So. During the break, we were talking to Andrew about some things that we need to do or not do here. Hope you enjoyed our quick little ad there from ABC Home and Commercial Services. ABC Home and Commercial Services is the company that's actually donating the space for the museum. They own a building in Clay Township, Michigan, an old World War II Quonset hut. And we're going to talk about that on our next podcast a little bit more as well. But they donated that space to us. So we're giving a little advertising space right now. Of course, in the future here, if anybody is listening and they are interested in advertising with us, please reach out. But like I was saying, during the break, we were talking with Andrew about some of the things. As you can see, I got a little flustered there towards the very end before we went to the break. And that's just going to happen. You guys are going to listen with us and you're going to learn with us. We know about 4x4s. We know about off-road vehicles. Of course, we don't know everything about them. We're going to learn as we go along as well. But neither John or I are professional broadcasters. And so this is kind of fun. Although this equipment in front of us looks pretty professional. John, can you tell me a little bit about this equipment we're looking at?
Yeah, they're just some good quality condenser mics. We've got table stands with the extendable arms so we can get a good position for distance to and whatnot. The mics are by a company called AKG, Fine Quality Audio Equipment. We've got some filters so you don't hear a lot of hissing and popping as we're talking into the mics.
Free ad AKG there, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right.
And then, yeah, just regular mic cable into a recording device. A little bit of processing through a computer, and then we shoot it out to you folks. So plenty of places wherever you could get your local podcast that you listen to. We'll be getting it out as soon as we can.
That's awesome. Yeah, John and Andrew are definitely our tech guys here. I am a computer dinosaur. I've got my laptop here in front of me, and they were already like, well, if you keep clicking those things, we're going to hear it all over there. I didn't realize that these mics could pick up everything. I even was already scolded by our great Andrew, the producer there, for making too much noise with my coffee cup setting it down. So I've got a nice little coaster made out of a piece of cloth here for my coffee cup, but that'll happen. Before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about our history, and then a little bit during the break, John was asking me a little bit about my business again with Thin Line Off-Road. Not trying to turn it into an advertisement or anything right now, but just giving a picture of what we do over here. John, you had a couple of questions possibly?
Yeah, it's just more, how did you get involved into that? I mean, I know you've had a history of love and love of off-road stuff, four-wheel drive vehicles. God knows I've seen so many cycling through over the years.
Yeah. I mean, well, even there, I started out, like I said, after my buddy Lucas invited me on that trail ride, which was up near Mile, Michigan, with his XJ. I came home, and pretty quickly after that, I was out working one day and found a 1988 GMC S15 Jimmy. You remember those things? I don't know if there's any of those left anymore. They pretty much rusted in half by now.
Seen rust piles in scrap yards.
Well, yeah, there you go. Well, this was at a customer's house back when I was working somebody else, and I ended up buying it for $40, and it ran, needed brakes, put brakes on it, and I was a broke kid at the time, of course, so the next thing to do was try to fit bigger tires on it, so I got a set of pretty much almost bald 33s for next to nothing from a friend of mine, and they didn't fit. I put them on, and of course they hit everything, the sheet metal and all that, and I'm like, oh man, I can't afford a lift kit, what am I gonna do? And My other buddy says to me, he's like, well, just cut the metal out of the way. It's all rusty anyways.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. I cut the fenders with a Sawzall to fit the bigger tires. And next thing I knew, I was taking it. You've done that, have you?
Yeah, you just got to be careful not to cut past the pinch welds like I did.
Oh, yeah, then you're welding moving more. It.
Yeah, so you got to go back and then pinch and weld everything together. It's a real pain.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, it's ugly, too.
So, yeah, I started wheeling that thing, and then after that, I bought another GMC S15 Jimny, but it was a four-door. It was a nicer shape, and that morphed over about an eight-year period. I eventually got one-ton axles. I torched all the IFS out and did a Dana 60 in the front, 70 in the rear, nice. 513 gears, Detroit lockers. And that was my first serious wheel and reg. And there's been a whole slew of them since. We've done Suzuki Samurais. Had a lot of fun of those. In fact, I think we should do a whole episode on Suzuki Samurais sometime.
We could. I don't know a lot about them.
Yeah,
I know you only need, what, like four tools, and you can pull them all apart, put them back together?
Pretty much, yeah. with a 10, a 12, a 17 millimeter, and a Phillips screwdriver, you can take apart about like 95% of one of those things.
I remember doing an engine pull with you and Lucas one day with that.
Yeah, yeah, that the was, black one we yeah, had, right?
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of fun with those, did a lot of those. Got into the Land Cruisers when I needed a little bit larger vehicle to haul the whole family in. I had an XJ Cherokee that was mostly stock, except it was on 31s as well.
I remember that, the green one.
The green one, yeah, the 5-speed. That was a lot of fun. I kind of missed that one. That was a lot of fun. And, you know, I did this part-time while working with other companies and of course, working for somebody else, just making a living. And a couple of years ago, I was doing Thin Line Off-Road as a part-time gig. Along with, I was working, as you know, as a commercial diver, doing the underwater welding and dredging and all of that stuff. And a little health condition came up, which excluded me from doing that kind of diving anymore. And I'm fine, you know, now, but I already had Thin Line going. So at that point, I just went full time with it. And nice. With Thin Line Off-Road, part of the business model here is we support first responders. So give a little money back to dive teams and police, fire departments. Yeah, absolutely.
Help those who help everybody.
Well, you know, and there's something too. Both John and I have both been first responders at some point or another in our lives. John was on a it's called Michigan Technical Recovery Team.
Midwest Technical Recovery Team.
Midwest. So yeah. You did really deep recovery dives.
Yes, we specialized in deep technical search and recovery diving.
Exactly. And I was a rescue diver for St. Clair County, Michigan, and also involved a little bit with the hazmat team here locally. So firsthand, we've seen what the first responders need. And a lot of times these agencies are just completely underfunded. And, you know, you might be a very small line item budget on a county payroll or a county, whatever they call it, you know, the money that you come in for the county every year.
Yeah.
But it's not enough to keep the lights on and to keep all your equipment maintained. Yeah. So a lot of these first responding agencies have to do a lot of fundraisers and stuff like that. And that's where it really started out with the Thin Line Off-Road thing. But so that's pretty much what, you know, the brief history of Thin Line Off-Road. And, you know, you yourself, you haven't worked necessarily in the off-road world, but you have worked in the automotive parts business for a number of years, have you not?
Yeah, I was a parts sales manager at AutoZone for a couple of years.
Yep.
And then I worked at a...
Cue the AutoZone jokes, you know, but...
Yeah.
No, actually, John was really good. He was the one I would go to. He was knowledgeable on the parts, you know.
I'll say in their defense, some of them don't know in the computer system. That's why they ask you two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive when you're looking for wiper blades.
Yeah, exactly.
The computer has it. It's not... always their fault.
Yeah. No, I know. I love my local one here. I'm there all the time getting stuff. But
yeah.
And then you were at another place, I remember.
Yeah, I worked at a used car and service center for a while as a service writer and parts guy. Or service advisor might be better terminology for that. And we did, I did a lot of the estimates and stuff for a lot of four-wheel drive repairs, truck repairs. Pretty much anything that came through there, we did estimates for, ordered the parts. Some of those can be tricky to find, but eventually you find what you need. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I know we've jumped around a lot in this first episode here, but just trying to paint you a picture of who John and I are and, you know, what our involvement in this world is. And like I said, on our next podcast here, which is going to be coming up pretty shortly, we're going to talk about the museum, which is a project that's very near and dear to both of our hearts. And, you know, how basically that whole thing got founded and how we started off with that. You know, John, what else you want to talk about today?
Well, I can get into a little bit about what I do right now.
Absolutely.
I'm not working on any roads or land, actually, right now. So it's starting to get warmer out, and I work with double action dive charters. I crew on one of the dive boats in Lake Huron, and every weekend we run people out to go scuba diving on shipwrecks.
That's a lot of fun. That sounds like...
Oh, yeah, it's a blast. And for the most part, we're in shallower wrecks. We do have deeper stuff we go to. But, yeah, on some of these even, there are some old cars. You know, you look on a lot of these, there's wrecks that have full, complete cars. There's one they just found. It's got a, what is it, a 1927 Nash?
Oh, cool.
I believe it is. It looks not quite like the day it went down, but it's a very low mileage vehicle.
Is the engine flooded?
I would say probably by this point. I mean, it's been down since 1928, so I don't think there's too many good parts. You might be able to salvage a bolt, maybe.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There you go. But, that would actually be an interesting future podcast for us to talk about waterproofing your four-wheel drive vehicle.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember years ago, that first Jimmy that I had up at Silver Lake Sand Dunes in Michigan, crossing a water hole up there and ended up hydrolocking the engine. Which, if you don't know, hydrolocking is when you fill the engine full of water and, you know, the water goes up through the intake, down through the manifolds into the cylinders, and it seizes up your engine with water. Fortunately, we were able to pull the spark plugs out, roll it over, get all the water out of it, dry it out, and it ran again. But
I assume not too long, though.
No, it ran pretty good after that. Fortunately, it wasn't a high-speed hydrolock. But, you know, that's something we should talk about, you know, snorkels and waterproofing distributors. Absolutely. And all that kind of thing and whatnot. But, you know, we could probably just about wrap up this first broadcast here. And unless there's anything else you wanted to hit
on
there,
John. Not that I can think of.
All right. Well, once again, I'd like to mention, for more information about the museum, go to www.themora.org. You can also check out thinlineoffroad.com if you would like. And you can also check out the museum page at the Museum of Off-Road Adventure on Facebook. It's also on Instagram, the same thing, the Museum of Off-Road Adventure, but there's an underscore between every single word. So it's the_museum_. You get the idea. And you can also check out our website for the Wheelin' Podcast, which is wheelinradio.com, and, of course, Wheelin' on Facebook. Is there anything you'd like to plug while we're doing all our plugs here, John?
Not that I can think of. I think we pretty much covered everything.
Okay. So yeah, that's all of our plugs, and thank you for tuning in, and I hope we keep you guys listening to our podcast about 4x4s and off-road lifestyle. And that's signing off our first one.
Have a good one.